and welcome everybody to this beautiful Tuesday Chop Sports Daily. Sans Dave. Obviously, I'm in studio by myself. Everybody that watches the show knows that Dave is on paternity leave. We are now awaiting word on the miracle. So whenever Dave gets to me, I guess maybe I wouldn't announce it because that would kind of be kind of fucked up to steal the thunder like that. So either way, we're waiting on word for the beautiful miracle to arrive, the newest member of the Dallas Cowboys Nation. So we want to wish Dave good luck on all that with his family, and everybody say your prayers for Dave. So I wake up this morning to a text message from Dave, and on the day of his child's birth, he's sending me text messages of power rankings. But obviously I mention this because the Packers and the Cowboys sit firmly atop the rankings, and I don't know why, but Dave sending me messages explaining that that's the reason why Chop Sports is going to take off. I don't think they have anything to do with each other, but I think Dave's line of thinking is where we all want to be. So I guess I'm just going to get right into the show. Today we got Monday Night Football. Today's the NFL trade deadline, people. So a lot to digest there. We got Adrian Peterson on the move, or not on the move, but signing with the Titans. And World Series baseball tonight. I don't really know much about what's going on with the World Series, but I do know that both pitchers pitching tonight haven't really been pitching well, so I'll probably take the over. Max Fried against, I guess, some Spanish guy, Diaz. So if anybody knows a little bit more about the World Series, then you could kind of chime in and help me along with that later on. I would like for some people to be a little more interactive on this show because, like I said, I'm by myself. So if anybody has any comments or any questions, I would love to be able to answer them for you and kind of guide me along here. But I guess I'm not going to waste any time. We'll just get right into the Monday Night Football game. Tough one for the Giants. The Chiefs looked like shit. The Giants looked like shit. I bet the over, and I knew that wasn't going to hit probably about 4 minutes into the game when there was a turnover. About 38 penalties for the Chiefs. And Patrick Mahomes, man, is this guy... It's fun to watch him, but my father was saying to me yesterday how Pat Mahomes, you're nervous every single time he's throwing the ball because everything he does is unorthodox. But, there's a lot of glaring issues. Even though the Chiefs managed to get the win, I'm not sure the Chiefs – I mean, obviously everybody knows about their defensive issues, but right now it's more so the Chiefs' offense that's struggling. Their defense, we expect them to struggle, and they actually played well yesterday, obviously, because I took the over. But what should you bet for Sunday? Well, I mean, I haven't even really looked at the point spreads for this Sunday yet, so you're jumping the gun on me there. But honestly, because the Chiefs are so shit and they're 2-6 against the spread, I think Pat Mahomes is like something crazy. Like he's like 2-13 against the spread in his last 15 games, and the Packers right now are 7-1 against the spread. So just the way the trends are going, I've been losing money on the Chiefs every single week, and I've been making money on the Packers every single week. I would say, you know, that's a fair assessment to take the Packers against the Chiefs on the road, but I got to see the point spread first. But yeah, the Chiefs, bro. They're probably going to get Clyde Edwards-Helaire back this week. It's going to create a little bit of a logjam in the backfield. Nick Gore, no relation to Frank, actually showed up last night and played pretty well and probably cost me my fantasy matchup because Darrell Williams didn't get enough touches, but that's another story for another day. As far as the Giants go, more of the same. They had a chance to win the game, much like they had a chance to win the Washington game on prime time, and they just failed to get it done. Danny Dimes looked like shit yesterday. He couldn't seem to hit the 5-yard out. Everybody on the Giants was, I guess the receivers are banged up, and we've had conversations on this show with Jimmy where he's saying that Daniel Jones is a good quarterback, but his receivers just can't stay on the field. Well, I understand that aspect of it, but I don't think Daniel Jones is really the guy out there. I think it's pretty evident right now that the Chiefs defense, as bad as they played, and Daniel Jones given so many opportunities with all the times that the Chiefs turned the ball over and they really just couldn't capitalize, is close as the game was, and the Giants almost took the W. It's just the Chiefs were too much, and I had the feeling that was going to be that the way it played out. I sat up and watched the entire game hoping for 40 points in the fourth quarter because I had over 53. I guess that leads me to the question, like, the Chiefs won yesterday, but are the Chiefs dead anyway? I think there's a case to be made that the Chiefs are going to finish with a losing record this year. If you look ahead to who they got on their schedule, really the only gimme games are the Broncos twice. They got the Raiders twice. They got Green Bay coming to town next week. Then they got the Raiders. Then they got Dallas. Then it's like Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, and then Denver twice. Oh, and they also play the Chargers. So the Chiefs are really up against it this season. And with the offensive struggles now, it's like you would expect that the offense would be able to carry this team. And then yesterday what you saw was the defense kind of carried the team, and the offense, they just can't hold on to the football. Too many penalties, very uncharacteristic of an Andy Reid coach team. But it's just, I think that the Chiefs are, everybody has a little bit too much confidence in the Chiefs going into the season. And really, when you looked at the Super Bowl game, they got exposed. And now you're seeing what teams are doing. The two deep safeties over the top with Mahomes. The Giants played called a perfect game defensively yesterday. And I think you're seeing a lot more of that against these teams that like to throw the ball deep, obviously. They had no respect for the running game. And the Chiefs were able to run the ball well, but I think that the Giants were just, you know what, we're going to let them run because that's not their game. The Chiefs while they average a lot per carry, it's just not their game to hand the ball off consistently. And when you slow the game down, I know it's crazy because I'm talking like the Chiefs actually lost the game, but even though they won, it still feels that way to me. Thoughts on Aaron Rodgers' Halloween costume? Well, honestly, my main thought is that I'm hoping, and I don't really comment on the way other men look, I'm just tired of hearing people say it, like, oh, he's got to cut his hair, like my mother. I'm pretty sure even Ashley has said it to me. Dave said it on week one when they got spanked by the Saints. He was saying, that's all about the haircut. He's going to come next week with a new haircut. But apparently he grew it out for the John Wick Halloween costume, which was spot on if anybody saw it. And shout out to Aaron Rodgers. I was getting text messages from my people all day yesterday saying that Aaron Rodgers sent them $100 in crypto. Now, I don't know how I missed the boat on that, but it's unfortunate. I don't really have a crypto wallet. Is that what they're called? Or a Bitcoin wallet? I'm not really. This is the one thing that I feel like I missed out on in life, because everybody talks about crypto and Bitcoin, and I literally know nothing. But if you need any fantasy football waiver wire advice, I'm your guy. I guess that's why I'm here. And So I guess back to the Chiefs. They're done. I don't know if they're done, but I feel like it's heading in that direction. I guess if the Chiefs would have lost yesterday, it would have been interesting because they just made a move, and we're going to get to that in a moment, but the Chiefs made a move within the conference, and they got Melvin Ingram to help out the pass rush. So I think that deal happened early this morning. If the Chiefs would have lost yesterday, do you think maybe there was a chance that they kind of just backed out of the whole trade deadline thing and didn't try to make the improvements? I think that might be a reach on my part, but the Chiefs did nonetheless add Melvin Ingram, who I thought was the only real bona fide pass rusher left on the market after the other trade that went down, which we'll get to in a moment as well. But I guess that leads me to the trade deadline, because there's really not much more to talk about with the Chiefs-Giants game. I know that I had graphics made, and I usually have graphics made, but since I'm by myself, it's a little bit difficult to produce the show, speak to everybody, read the 11 comments that are here, and I'm just going to keep on going with no graphics because I feel like it's just easier for me and I'll be able to deliver a better product for you. I will bring up the graphics, however, for the waiver wire talk later on. The Rams acquire Von Miller. As good of a weekend as it was for the Packers and the Cowboys here at Chop Sports, I just know that they're really not the type of team to make that big splash move. They did make their move by getting Whitney Mercilus, and I'm happy about that. That was a much-needed improvement for our defense, and I think that'll pay dividends. But I don't expect the Packers to make any moves. I know the Cowboys are not in a position cap-wise to make any moves, but I thought the same thing about the Rams. I'm just like, the Rams traded their starting inside linebacker last week, Kenny Young, and I'm thinking, wow, that's really uncharacteristic of a team that's 5-1 or 6-1. I think they were 6-1 at the time. To make that move, now, I know that they like the guy that they drafted this year, and he actually did come up with a pick. So there was that. Like, they might have had something, you know, that they understood was a good player and a guy that was behind him on the depth chart. But my initial thought was, you see what happens when you don't really pay attention to the cap and you force yourself into these situations mid-season on a contending team. But apparently the Rams had another trick up their sleeve because they managed to parlay that contract into now taking on Von Miller. I just don't know how they do it. Now they have Aaron Donald and Von Miller on the same defensive front with Jalen Ramsey on the back end. I just don't know how teams are going to really deal with that if they get going. You know, if they could stay healthy. I know Von Miller's had issues, but if they could stay on the field, that's going to be potent and really, really hard to – I don't care what offensive line you have. Aaron Donald takes two people. And Von Miller, he could do it all. He could stop the run, not as well as he gets to the quarterback. But Von Miller is a premier player in the league, clearly. And now to that point, I think Von Miller, since he joined the league, and I'm not sure if he's the 2011 or 2014, but since Von Miller joined the league he leads the NFL in sacks since that point. Since Aaron Donald has joined the league, he also leads the NFL in sacks since that point. So putting those two guys on the same team is impressive. And I'm not saying I'm excited to see what they're able to do because obviously I'm not. I'm a Packer fan. But, it's going to be tough to deal with, really tough to deal with. What else we got on the trade deadline front here? I guess really there was no other trades made, but we do have a lot of teams that are in the mix to potentially make a deal, and there's some guys that are out there that I think are potentially going to be moved. Leading off with Xavien Howard. The Dolphins have been in contract talks with him for a while now. There was the holdout situation. He's not happy. I know that he got a little bit paid, but there's a lot of incentives laden in that deal, and I don't think that he was really happy. It was more or less like, I'm not going to sit out the season because I'm not in a position to lose all that money. But being that the Dolphins are where they are, I think they're 1-7 now. There's just no reason to pay him the rest of this season. I think he's in a walk year now anyway because of the deal that they constructed, but I could be wrong on that. But expect to see a possible Xavien Howard trade. A lot of talk with the Dolphins because of their record and because of their propensity to make trades over the last couple seasons. You got to imagine that the Dolphins will be involved in pretty much anything that is involving dumping off some salary that they might not need going forward. Xavien Howard being the prime example. And honestly, maybe the other corner over there, but I'm pretty sure he's hurt. So I don't know if that's even feasible. Another guy that I'm looking at as just because of the Texans trading everybody and with the contract that he has, I know it's not much this year, but is there really any reason to keep him around going into next season? Because I know that there's a crazy contract escalator in Brandon Cook's contract going forward where this year he earns like $2 million the rest of the way, but next year he's going to be earning $15 million. And I know that the Texans aren't really in a position even next year to want to have to pay a guy who's a good player. I expect him to possibly get moved to the Patriots. I heard a lot of talks about him going to the Packers, but I'm pouring cold water on that myself because I feel like with the contract that Cooks has, it would be very telling. The writing would be on the wall if they trade for Cooks because Devontae's in his walk year. I firmly believe that the Packers are going to let Devontae walk regardless because that's just how they operate, but if the Packers do, in fact, make a trade for a receiver that's not in his final year of his contract, then it's very likely that they're looking ahead to next season, and especially with the Brandon Cooks thing, who actually he was the replacement for DeAndre Hopkins in Houston. It would be kind of ironic for him to go to Green Bay and replace Devontae Adams. But if Devontae Adams is in his walk year, Brandon Cooks is owed $15 million for next season. If the Packers trade for Brandon Cooks, then there's literally no way that they're going to even be able to visit talks with Devontae Adams because $15 million to Cooks, that money should be spent on Devontae. And yes, Watson, I believe, is going to stay put. Scoop Espo chiming in with the Deshaun Watson. I don't know if that's a question or a statement or if you're reporting that as news, but yes, I do believe Deshaun Watson is going to stay put. I've been saying that since the beginning. There's just no way that any team is going to trade some capital for a guy that could end up being banned. I mean, there hasn't been any suspension yet, which is obviously weird. We've talked about this at length on the show. But because of that, and they're so mum on this whole situation, we don't know. They're saying that they don't have enough information. That doesn't mean that the information isn't there. It just means that they don't have it yet, which I find a little hard to believe. But the NFL has their own way of doing things, and the Texans even have their own way of doing things. And look, Deshaun Watson wasn't happy in Houston regardless. So that whole situation is just, we're going to have to wait and see how that plays out in the offseason and whenever these court proceedings take place. But yeah, I just don't anticipate a Deshaun Watson trade. I really don't anticipate any quarterback getting moved. I was trying to look it over this morning and just trying to pick out what quarterbacks I think might go. You want to say Jimmy G, but coming off the performance he had, and the 49ers are still in the thick of it in the NFC, maybe not in their division, but those last two playoff spots are certainly up for grabs. I think right now Jimmy G still gives the 49ers the better chance to win, so I don't anticipate him getting moved. Maybe a Nick Foles, maybe, but you know, I haven't heard any rumors about him in the recent weeks, which is a little weird because when there's trade deadline, there's usually Nick Foles involved. But just looking over my notes, anybody else that we got? Oh, yeah, I heard Odell Beckham Jr. might get traded. Now, I've been hearing that as well for 3 years, but I can't imagine anybody making any moves for a guy that is half man, half a season. Odell, he's got all the talent in the world, but for whatever reason, even when he's on the field, he's just disinterested to me, and I'm not going to do it. Speaking of another, I guess, giant, because Odell's the former giant, there is another guy that I think is interesting that is – probably going to get moved today, and that's Evan Engram. There's a few teams out there. Tight ends are just everybody needs a tight end, a pass catching tight end nowadays. It creates matchups that the defense can't really contend with, especially if you have those guys on the outside. But Evan Engram's looking for a change of scenery. Obviously everybody in Giants Nation, or I don't even know if that's a thing, Giants Nation, but Giant fans don't like Evan Engram. And typically anybody that's owned Evan Engram in fantasy football does not like Evan Engram. He's actually cost me playoff matchups that I really dislike him for. But the Packers are dealing with an injury at tight end. I think Evan Engram's on the final year of his deal. Tanyan out for the season. I absolutely would not mind the Packers bringing him in for a sixth or seventh round pick, because I know the Giants just, I don't see that they have any use for him. So hopefully maybe the Packers get involved with something and they make a move for Evan Engram. But other than that, I haven't really heard any significant rumors, but I'm sure there's teams like the Patriots that are always behind the scenes doing something. The Raiders are one of those teams that they're looking to make another leap, and I think that they might have some money to absorb some contracts. So you just look around at the contenders or the teams that are maybe a piece or two away, and then you look at the other teams that are, you know, pretty much to a lost season, and you could find some of these pieces. But I guess in the next couple hours, we're all going to find out. So good luck to everybody out there with your trade deadline wishes. But I'm going to take it to break. And when I come back, I'm just going to break down my fantasy football waiver wire additions and then call it a show. So I'll be right back.
You know, myself and Gooch are both getting a little older. One of the first things to go is your vision. Thank goodness for our hookup over at Absolute Eyewear in Woodbridge, New Jersey, right on Main Street next to the train station. They have glasses for all ages, all budgets. They have safety glasses, sports glasses. They are a full-service powerhouse offering eye exams and even free lenses for the kids. They work with BCBS, AAA, AARP, giving massive discounts. They're open 5 days a week, closed on Wednesdays and Sundays. Call 732-326-3937 to get your first pair of Ray-Ban, Burberry, Coach, Polo, you name it, they got it. Go see Craig and Janine right now.
And we are back. So now that I got the initial jitters of the first, I don't even know how, I guess 20 minutes out of the way, I'm going to settle back in here and I'm going to get all zen, because now I'm in my world. We get to talk about fantasy football. I'm having an abysmal season in fantasy football, and it's hard because going into this year, I called myself the fantasy football warlord, and I'm the self-proclaimed guru, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm here to say that those things are all still true. My fantasy acumen speaks for itself. I do not want my transparency in my losing ways to interfere with my ability to give sound advice, because obviously it's all a crapshoot in this game. Scoop, take your comment. Oh, yeah, good idea, Scoop. Thanks for the heads up. See, this is what I need. I need my people for, man. Like, we went from a three-man show down to just me. And honestly, this is my, I mentioned this earlier, this is my first Chop Sports Daily, but this is only the second podcast that I've ever recorded solo. So, and this is definitely my first time ever doing it live. So I'm uncharted territory for me, and we're going to have some fun with it. So here we go. We're going to get into the free agent, fantasy free agent acquisitions, and I'm going to bring up some graphic just to, I'm not even going to bother then. That's actually really shitty. But I guess I'll just talk about it. That's funny. All right, so the first player on the list is Boston Scott, 8-0 fantasy Scoop. Yeah, man, Scoop. And I went into the season talking shit about your fantasy team because I just wasn't sold on your running backs. And then even when David Montgomery got hurt, I wasn't sold on your running backs even more. But Khalil Herbert has been a godsend, and I own him in two leagues too. So we're on the same page there. But my teams just don't win. But now I'm going to go into the fantasy football waiver wire additions. First things first, obviously we know about the King Henry injury. Not a great situation for me, not a great situation for anybody that invested an early pick on King Henry. But look, this is the wave of fantasy football. You got to deal with these types of things. And there really is no replacement. There's nothing that anybody's going to do to replace King Henry. And honestly, if you had him, your season is probably over. I wouldn't say it's definitely over, but I mean, it's not looking great for you going forward. There is some fill-in possibilities, which I'll get to in a moment, but don't think it's going to be Adrian Peterson. Now, I love AP. I think he's one of the all-time greats, obviously, but he's like 61 years old, and he's coming into a system where I don't think he knows the system. I know it's just with AP, you just hand the ball off, and he just runs downhill. But you got to imagine maybe he was just sitting out there waiting for the perfect opportunity, but the Ravens didn't pick him up. There's a lot of teams just didn't pick up on AP when they needed running back help. And, you know, I guess the Titans look at it as like he's able to replace Derrick Henry because he's a very similar player. I got to get the other graphic up, Jesus. And there we go. And now I'm going to get my ticker going. And there we go. All right, so now I'm back in my studio, we'll call it. Back in my studio, and it sucks because I can't put up my graphic and have you guys read along with me, but everything will be all right. Scoop, I appreciate you, bro. I appreciate you. You're the only one commenting, really, and kind of leading me along. Actually, not the only one, but back into the fantasy football waiver wire. So, obviously, I just talked about how I don't think AP is going to be the guy in Tennessee. He will get some carries. He's going to get some short yardage work, probably some goal line work, but I think Jeremy McNichols is definitely the guy to be looking at. I know Darrington Evans is coming off the IR, but I don't think that he's fully ready to go, and it might take him a little bit of time. This is going to be a situation that's completely dynamic. I think McNichols is a decent pass catcher. I'm not sure how he is at pass blocking, but he was kind of the third down back, if you want to call it that, because they really didn't take Derrick Henry out of the game much, but McNichols did have some spurts here and there where I saw him do some things. And look, because of the potent offense, I know their offensive line has had some issues with injuries, but Julio's had issues with injuries. They do have A.J. Brown. If Julio could get healthy, the offense still is going to be opened up for the running back. I know that they're going to be probably playing a little bit differently against the Titans now, given that they don't have to bring that extra help up and stop AP. They don't have to stop Derrick Henry, but look, we're gonna find out and see. I think McNichols is the guy. If I had my first waiver claim, if I was first priority, I would be adding McNichols over everybody else. We have some significant quarterbacks on bye weeks this week with Tom Brady and I guess really Russell Wilson, but you were anticipating to have to replace Russ this week. He's not going to be playing anyway. But basically the Tom Brady sweepstakes. Tom Brady's out, so which quarterback are you going to be able to add? I'll rank them in order of the guys that I think, at least that I've seen. Derek Carr is the guy that I'd be adding in terms of availability. He's available in, I think, over 60% of leagues right now because he's coming off the bye. So Derek Carr, playing against the Giants, they did decent against Mahomes, but you know that the Giants are 2-6 for a reason. I think Derek Carr, playing on the team that he's playing on, the big play after big play, Henry Ruggs over the top. I would go with Derek Carr over everybody else. Then the second guy, if Derek Carr is not available in your league, I will go with Tua Tagovailoa of the Miami Dolphins because he's able to run the football. And Miami sucks, but just the ability to run the ball, and he's almost like a Jalen Hurts light where I'm very high on Jalen Hurts in fantasy. I think Tua has a very similar game. Not as good of a passer, but he is able to run the football, and Miami, they're going to be down, so you could expect the game script to lean in his favor. Maybe they won't even be down. I don't know, but he's going to run the ball a lot, and he should be throwing it a decent amount as well. And then it brings me to everybody's favorite guy to hate, and that's Carson Wentz. The Colts is, look, they blew it last week, but the Colts have been playing better. Wentz came out of the gate firing off 2 touchdowns in the first quarter. The yardage totals were there. He had a couple bad plays, but we're talking about a bye week replacement. I'm not telling you to add Carson Wentz to start going forward. And I know my boy Rashad Bateman coming off a bye. This might be the last week that you could get your hands on a Rashad Bateman. The Ravens, like I said, coming off a bye, so it kind of took any of the shine that he might have had. And because of the receivers are so thin right now, and most of the time you don't really have to replace a bye week receiver with a free agent acquisition because there's so many receivers in the league that you're able to kind of just work with your bench. But if you want anybody that is a potential, I'm not even going to say for this week, but just going forward, I think Bateman has potential to be a guy that is a weekly starter in fantasy football. Like, I just think the Ravens offense is clicking and Rashad Bateman is a first round draft pick. So the talent's there. So I wouldn't be afraid to make that the, I wouldn't be afraid to use my first waiver claim on him as well. If McNichols wasn't available, some other guys out there. Now, Nick Gore, I spoke about him earlier. He looked really, really good yesterday, but the problem is Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to probably be coming back. Maybe this week, if not this week, then definitely the week after. And you're going to probably see Nick Gore get pushed down the depth chart a little bit because Darrell Williams looked good in CEH's absence. So I expect that to be a little bit more of a timeshare. The Edwards-Helaire injury, I think kind of really, even though he's not out for the year, it's going to really stifle his fantasy value going forward. But because Edwards-Helaire might be coming back, you might see somebody jump the gun, much like they did a couple weeks back, and I was able to get Chuba Hubbard, and hopefully some of you guys were as well. When they make an announcement about a running back coming back and they start giving him his projections again, people tend to drop the guy that was his replacement. And now, when you have a guy that's coming off an injury, obviously he's coming off an injury, so the risk of him getting re-injured is there. So I like to poach the waiver wire after the day, and especially on a day like today where it's a trade deadline and a lot of the situations are going to – just make sure you're paying attention to the NFL transactions today because a lot of guys are going to be getting activated off the IR. A lot of guys are going to be maybe traded into situations where they inherit a bigger role, and then some guys are going to be – thrust into situations because a guy that had a bigger role on their team is now in a different situation. So just monitor all that. I remember a couple years back, I think it was Carlos Hyde was traded to the Texans midseason, right around the trade deadline deal. And Nick Chubb became available because Nick Chubb became the starter and he was available in a lot of leagues. So basically Nick Chubb was a league winner that year. So look for that this week because it's not over. I know that the free agents are thin, but you got to stay on top of it because look, even if you lost Derrick Henry, you owe it to the league and yourself to stay on top of it. One more thing to note about fantasy football is Tyler Conklin. If you were a TJ Hockenson owner, you're probably looking for that one guy out there that you could replace in a pinch. Now, you could look at the Pittsburgh Steelers guy, Freiermuth, I think is his name. But to me, it's a no-brainer. If Tyler Conklin is in your league, the Vikings are coming off of a really bad performance. I think that their offense plays much better than that this week. Even though they're playing the Ravens, it's just a game where the Ravens are the worst in the NFL against the tight end. Their defense has been up and down. Now, they've dealt with some injuries. Their defense has been up and down, but against the tight ends, they've been all the way down. They've been down bad all year. So Tyler Conklin, I expect him to maybe punch one in. And if you're a Hockenson owner, Conklin might be even doing better for you than Hockenson's been doing because we know he's been shit of late. That's it. That's the fantasy football waiver wire edition advice. And I think that's also the show. I had fun. I was admittedly a little bit nervous going into this, and I had some anxiety about it, but I got through it. And we'll be back tomorrow at 11 a.m. for round two of the solo show with Gooch. And good luck to Sturch and his beautiful baby boy who is on the way, waiting news. So thank you for tuning in. I appreciate everybody, specifically you, Scoop, because, hey, Scoop, actually, if you're able to come in tomorrow and you want to join me, I don't have to do it solo, but that's another conversation we'll have later. Again, thank you very much for tuning in, guys. It was great, and hopefully you enjoyed the show.